Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 1 p.m. Everyone do okay with the storms last night?
Mm-hmm.
All good?
Yeah, we were where they're investigating if a tornado touched down or not in Chesterfield,
that was you. Okay.
141 and all that. So we actually did go in the basement because it came quickly to that area. Because usually with the alarms, and you're in St. Louis, when the tornado siren goes off, you run to a window or a door and look outside.
Yeah. Or go outside.
I'm in the go outside
group. I know it's so dumb. I don't recommend it, but we do that. But this one, the sirens went off and I'm about to go outside and I hear them saying on KMOX, it's just north of 40 on 141. It's by Creve Coeur Park. And I realized we should probably get in the basement just in case.
Yeah, it was not good. I went outside and I did the same thing.
Yep, it's indefensible.
Yes,
well, I am now a trained weather spotter, so I'm a professional.
No. You should be better than that.
No, they told us not to do that.
If another weather spotter sees you doing that,
I might lose my.
I like that they told you not to do.
Yeah,
that.
They did. They're like, hey, don't go outside doing that stuff. Yeah,
I took a photo of what was going on up there.
Oh,
and I sent it to a meteorologist friend, and I said, "Is this okay? Should I be here?" And she said, "Okay, well, the cloud is fine." But the lightning is not. Get the blank inside.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was kind of far away from the lightning.
Yeah.
But it can go.
But you
far,
never
right?
know. Just because you're seeing it in the distance doesn't mean it's not above you.
Again, it should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway. I don't want to see anyone get hurt or I don't want to see anyone's roof blown off. But I love watching storm mode.
Yeah.
I could sit there all night and just watch it. And I flip around, and my favorite is Steve from Channel 4.
Templeton.
He gets so pissy.
Yeah.
He was bossing Kent Earhart around like crazy, and he's like, he'll give it. He's like my dad. Steve's like my dad. He'll ask you nice once.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Kent, could you maybe take that camera on Progress West and turn it just maybe 5 degrees to the left? Kent, will you just turn that damn camera? And I'm like, give it to him, Steve. Give it to him.
Don't you understand about turn?
I also brought up Steve Templeton because he said, now all of you keep sending in these pictures of this cloud. It was the Ranji cloud, you know, which we really appreciate. And you keep saying there's a tornado. It's not a tornado. It's an SLC.
SLC.
A scary looking cloud.
Yep. I'm watching right there with you.
Oh, man.
Get him, Steve. Get him.
Get him. They don't know what they're talking about.
So last night, just after 2 o'clock, or early this morning, whatever, the thunder woke me up because it was one of those lightning and thunder at the same time, which meant it was right overhead.
Yeah, right outside. Right. Yeah.
And so it woke me up and I turned on the Odyssey app just to see if we were in storm mode here. Yeah. And Maria's on.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I turned on the TV and I was flipping through all the channels they were all on. Steve, they looked exhausted because they had been there all night covering it.
Did everyone learn the thing about the thunder and the lightning from Poltergeist?
The counting?
Yeah.
Probably.
Do you remember that scene?
I probably did, yeah.
Where it's like, look, don't be afraid. Just when you hear the thunder count, and you see the lightning count, and then you hear the thunder, and the longer in between, the farther away it gets, and it's like, okay, and he's feeling better. Then, of course, it reverses. It's getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Yeah. And I don't know. I still don't know whether that's true or not. But
yeah, it just occurred to me that might not be real.
So I've never seen that movie.
I've
never seen that movie, but I always heard that 5 seconds is a mile.
Yeah, I don't know about the distance, but that the further away it is, the longer it takes the sound to travel.
So I'd heard
which
every,
would make sense.
Yeah,
every second was a mile.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's 100%.
Because that's about speed of sound? Or am I making that up?
I don't know.
That would be what you're listening for, so yeah.
Yeah, like a mile a second-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, I do like all the stations have their weather equipment that are named. And the naming is, I know it's serious stuff, but the names are like the Super Predictor and the Cone of Uncertainty, which sounds like something Batman came up with.
Yes.
You know what, though? Last night, I think all of them went down for a minute. I think all the networks were having trouble with the radar. It wasn't updating. Because I kept flipping around from this was like the 2 a.m. thing, and Channel 4 went to 5, went to 2, and they were all having issues with not being exactly sure where the storm was because it wasn't updating.
National Weather Service says that if you want to know the distance that the lightning was away, you take the time that it takes to get to you. Right. So whatever it is, five Flash. Seconds, whatever, yeah. and then divide by five, that's the distance. So if you can count 5 seconds, it was 1 mile away. If you can count 15 seconds, it was 3 miles away. So if it's less than 5 seconds, it was pretty damn close. It was less than a mile away. That's the National Weather Service. I trust them because they trained me.
House got struck by lightning, and I was in the family room, not last night, sorry, this was years ago, but I was in the family room, or the kitchen, excuse me, and so you have all the windows, and when the house got struck, all of the windows glowed blue, because I guess the Freon, is that what that is
wow,
in the
cool.
windows? So all the windows had blue around them, just neon blue, and then I ran outside, my mom ran outside, we looked to see if the house was on fire. It was not, but every single piece of equipment, electronic equipment, every TV, every DVD player, every, you know, the microwave, the dishwasher, everything broke over the course of the next 2 years.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Before Phoebe, back before when I had a life, and we used to go to Jamaica and Mexico a lot, like 3 or 4 times a year. And I'm a terrible flyer because I almost crashed in Alaska. And I'm a 2 Xanax, 2 screwdriver flyer. And so we're getting ready to take off, and I haven't had anything yet. Oh, trust me, if you flew next to me, you'd be like, give me some of those Xanax.
Yeah.
So I had my 2 Xanax in my hand, and I'm just waiting for service to get my screwdrivers, and we're sitting on the tarmac, and a storm's coming, and I'm getting really, really nervous, and there are a bunch of workers standing on the tarmac, and a lightning bolt hits, I swear, in the middle of them, and they went flying like bowling pins, and I just started chewing my Xanax. Now, if you've ever left Xanax in your mouth too long before you swallow it, it is not good.
Well,
I'm rubbing it in my eyes.
It's grounding into a powder. And then
I remember one time, the funniest one was we're flying into Jamaica, and I'm deep into my 2 Xanax true screwdrivers. And I'm next to the window in case I have to jump out. And then it's Maureen, and then it's this guy. And we're half an hour out, and it's really stormy, and the guy's clearly hitting on Maureen. And I couldn't have cared less about either things. I was just like, you two are cute together. When we land, just
get us there safe.
You just go in a grill. Look at the lightning, everybody. I think I see Jesus' face. It's powerful drugs, Xanax and alcohol.
No. I think I'm more afraid of icy wings.
Those aren't good.
That's the
icy
one that I.
Wings.
Yeah, that scares me more than anything. It's not the lightning or the storms. It's the. I hope that stuff gets all the ice.
What?
Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble.
That says the ice. I'm being serious. Does that change whether or not the wings will keep you aloft?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what if the flaps don't work? What if they're frozen?
Oh, I see. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Or if it's too heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of that?
I never really thought of that.
I'm glad they've invented...
He doesn't have an internal monologue.
That's right.
I'm glad they've invented whole new stuff for us to be scared of. Like,
I just figured if they're going to let it take off, it's going to be all right.
Blowing off.
Yeah, ice on the wings was pretty bad, but now it's like, I wonder if the doors will stay on.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't want to be... I used to want to
like
be that
Con
one.
Air.
Didn't you guys... I always liked the sitting by the emergency exit because you get a little bit more room. It's kind of nice. Now, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't feel so good about that.
Let's not have these doors popping off.
And then we talked about a Boeing 777, 777. There was a flight from, I forgot where, to San Francisco. And
it was from Germany,
Germany, Frankfurt. And the toilets overflowed into the cabin.
Oh,
how about that?
This is happening with regularity.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, excrement is making its way onto planes.
How does it, doesn't it just like...
Don't I don't
just,
know,
like,
man.
Shoot it out the back or something.
They had to. No,
you think that's what makes planes go?
Yeah. No, I thought there was just like a lever and it just fell out.
No,
Dave Matthews
tour bus.
Yeah, because
it's going to be dropping on people's houses. What are you talking
that's
about?
That's what I thought it was.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're like just going to release the hounds over people's houses.
You thought it was like Dave Matthews tour bus?
Yeah, I thought it like evaporated in the air. Or something.
No.
Yeah, because.
I'm not taking his side, but what do they do?
They empty it out when they get
to an outhouse. It's like
it's like a septic tank in there.
Yeah, they drain it.
Oh,
they don't just empty it out in the sky.
You imagine walking down the street, just a big old piece of crap lands on you.
You know what
news to me?
It'd probably kill you from that distance too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, probably not.
You would make a great airline pilot.
Yeah.
No, the voice and the whole demeanor. Like, if I got on the plane,
I always
check out the pilots.
Yeah.
And I want one old one and one young one.
Yeah, yeah.
If I saw you, I'd be like, rock on.
What if he did the announcements like Jam Gum?
No.
Is this bad? I don't.
There's got to be a little turbulence.
If Ron just the...
What's this light for?
That'd be not good.
Or if you were the co-pilot, every time the pilot said, we're going to be ascending to 30,000 feet, he would go, that's right.
Just pop on the first time and go, oh boy.
Yeah. Like, as soon as I get in.
Take it easy, dingus.
As soon as we take off. Also come on the speaker and be like, I am not feeling it today. Like, you would just be...
Who would we be most and least comfortable with in this room?
Does that include Andrew?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess we have...
Well, he would just bring spiders and rats onto the plane. I don't want him.
They all of Coach would have cardboard.
I don't know who I would feel comfortable with.
I'd have Rachel fly the plane. And thanks. Not Andrew.
Yeah, once again, here we go. Where
definitely
it's like,
not
we all
Andrew.
Pick Rachel. Rachel would be the best one, but not Andrew. He'd be the worst one.
You did think they dropped poop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would learn that. I would learn that in training.
What do we do, the poop dump? Over Kansas? Or?
Yeah, we're dropping the poop now.
I am closer to being a pilot now than I was when the show started.
I honestly cannot believe you thought they just emptied it out over...
I've never thought about it. I've been on a plane twice, going somewhere and then coming back. I've never considered what they did.
And then when you went to the bathroom, you were like, oh, I feel sorry for those poor folks down there.
Sorry, Bob.
That explains why it's so affordable to live in flyover country.
Wait, is that what you thought, that every time you flushed, it just went straight out the plane?
Essentially. Yeah. Like, I thought it got kind of in like an airlock thing, so there was no pressure differences, and then they just, bam! Just rocking that thing out at the speed of light. Now, terminal velocity,
you've
baby.
You've intrigued me because I'm guessing if it were released at 400 miles an hour, it wouldn't keep its shape.
No, probably not.
That's what I assumed. I assumed it, like,
the particles would still
also
fall everywhere.
The bottom of the plane would probably be pretty nasty, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think it would just end up in the clouds and then travel?
It would get rained on you,
and then it would get rained on people.
That's
thought that's what happened.
It's raining poo.
You're such a smart person. How is it possible?
Because you're not supposed to drink rainwater and stuff. And I was like, hey, maybe that's part of why. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I've never really given this a lot of thought, but what I would consider, like, if somebody went to the bathroom on a plane, I just assume they just shot it out the side or whatever. Just launched it.
Out the side. Like Air Force One.
Like a cannon.
Countermeasures.
Yeah, exactly.
Flares. Bang. Let it go.
I will say this.
And then it all just evaporates. And like
I
magic.
Do feel like the bathroom on a plane is sanctuary. Like if it's a really bad flight and you're bouncing around and stuff and you go up to the bathroom, you're bouncing around even more in the bathroom, but somehow you're like, what, am I going to die in the bathroom?
Yeah, it's like the black box.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Nobody would know. If the plane crashes, no one's going to know that you were in the bathroom.
You'll be the only one with your pants on.
Yeah, the pants, pants around the ankle might be a...
Well, it's only a clue.
Unless there's but maybe there's nothing left of your body.
Yeah, this was one of those.
Just pants and an ankle.
Just a pants.
Yeah.
Well, it's the only pair of pants we found. Must have been pooping.
The plane was weighed down. They didn't shoot out all
he
the
way. He wasn't released with the poop, was he? Because people still don't know that we do that. They think it's some sort of septic system.
I don't know what this guy was doing, but he's definitely closest to the pilots, and he's got no pants on.
I think we found our cause.
Andrew thought it was like the movie Apollo 13 when they empty the urine tank.
That is correct.
Is that out into space?
Well, 100%. I mean, they did it on a spaceship.
100%. I was like, it's probably the same thing.
Maybe there's a pilot listening who could help us out.
Yeah, if you guys shoot it out the side like a cannon.
No, we don't do that. They empty it out.
They bring out the septic truck when they land, and they,
they shoot it out.
Yeah, sounds like my way might be better. I'm just saying. We wouldn't be having it back up into the cabin.
I love that you're doubling down. They're doing it wrong.
Yeah, on the ground, they have a septic fight with them.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 124. If anything, this show is educational. Let's talk to Eric on line one, who works at Lambert. Hello, Eric. Go right ahead.
So, ends are both right a little bit. So, typically, Your sewage in a plane is kept in a tank, holds about 250 so gallons. And when the plane lands, there's what's called a honey truck will come and pump all that out.
There you go.
Well, at some planes, just like doors popping off, you'll have an issue where that mechanism can fail in mid-flight.
Uh-oh.
And you'll have a collection of what's called blue ice form outside the plane, which is treated water and your waste product. And that can sometimes fall off of the plane, and if the plane is low enough, can land, hit people, hit houses. So there's been quite a few cases where that's happened in the world. There was one I read in Indiana where it fell through a lady's house, and I believe she lost her arm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But what most people will remember from the movie Joe Dirt is the asteroid that he finds and eats the fries and the ketchup off of. That was a frozen pile of poopy.
Oh, got it. Thank you, Eric. Look, I don't want to lose my arm.
So never by design, but it can happen
by
accident.
That's not the way you want it to happen.
It is. If I'm going to lose my arm, I would rather.
From blue ice?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a story. Mm-hmm.
So
that's a combo starter.
A pilot friend just texted me and said, so if you were to pee in the sink, then it would go out of the airplane.
Why would you say that?
Oh, the water in this. Oh, no. So the water from the sink just gets.
So they just they just vent the water from the sink?
I don't know. Well, it's just water. Know if this is true. I believe him. But maybe I'm also gullible. I don't know.
Maybe he's telling you a story.
Well, no. I mean, I doubt they have sinks that can tell if it's pee or water. So
that would be impressive. All pipes. It goes to the same place. Our guy, Mark Maxwell, Channel 5, sent a story from May of last year in Minnesota. There were customers waiting in line at a Caribou Coffee drive-thru when their windshield was splattered with what they called brown rain.
Ooh.
And it was one of these failures. And apparently it does happen, but it's not on purpose. Also in
unless
the story,
you pee in the sink.
It says that NASA no longer vents the urine into space because it was turning into space debris and it was becoming dangerous.
Oh, because like, it freezes?
I suppose.
It was a danger to the ISS.
Could you imagine that's what takes down the space station?
Right. Why are you laughing like a villain?
I think it'd be funny.
Wow, bad guy.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 134. Happy Tuesday to you. We have the think tank coming up at 4 p.m. David Barklage, our friend Megan Shackelford, and let's talk some sports. First of all, this is apropos nothing, but I think about it every time it happens. So you'd consider me a charming fellow, right? I'm
sure.
Affable.
Yeah.
I can get along with people.
Yeah.
Every time a guy goes to first base and they have that short little conversation with the first baseman, I seize up. I'm like, what do you say? What do
really?
You? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. See, I thought you were going to say that you would be great at those.
Now, I might, but I get nervous.
But I think if you did it a bunch, you'd be one of the, you'd be like the mayor of first base.
I feel like I'd be really, Amy, am I saying this word? Is it banal or banal? I feel like I'd
banal.
I feel like I would, everything I would say, I'd just be like, why'd you say that? That's so stupid. Of course he has cleats on. What did you
do? Really like your shoes, man.
But I really hit that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
That's actually a great skit.
It is. It would be, yeah.
The awkward conversation.
So.
It'd be worse being the first baseman. Kept to do it all day.
Right. Some of them are really good at it. Yeah. Like they make, that's just like their hobby. They just love making it fun during the game.
So, thoughts, what'd you think?
Last night?
Yes.
Nice to not be facing the Dodgers.
Yes, it is. Let's play the Padres.
Yeah. I mean, look.
They're going to be good, too, though.
The Padres?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they will.
Yeah. I mean, they and the Cardinals are in a similar place. Name a guy in their lineup outside of Machado and Tatis. You're like, oh, yeah, that guy's good.
I'd rather have the rotation.
Yeah, their top three rotation is better. And we'll see two of them the next 2 days. You got Darvish tonight and Musgrove tomorrow, and then Cease is their third guy right now. So, yeah, the top of their rotation is better. Their lineup is not. And in the end, they probably end up somewhere in the same range. But yeah, Padres don't stink. This is not a team that's going to lose 95 games. They're good. So beating them is no small thing. But it's also like the Dodgers and the Braves are way up here on top of Mount Everest, and we're all at base camp. Like everybody else is at base camp. It's just the way it is. When you're not facing them, it's a little bit easier to navigate. And give Kyle Gibson credit, man. He was really good last night, and they needed him to go seven innings because their bullpen had been beaten up in L.A. So that's a good reset.
What is his game when he's on?
Basically what you saw last night, throw strikes, put the ball in play, not a big strikeout guy. He's going to keep the ball down, got a good breaking ball. He's kind of tweaked the breaking ball the last couple years from what it used to be. So it's a different look, and you know. But I mean, look, he's the definition of the innings eater.
The knuckleball guy was freaking me out.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Wasn't that's very good though, was it? He got hit pretty
the
hard.
Catcher kept trying to catch the ball yeah. and dropping it.
You heard the old Euchre line on that, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Like the best way to catch a knuckleball is to wait for it to hit the backstop and stop rolling. You can pick it up.
Yeah,
it's no fun.
Yeah, it was good to see Arenado get the double.
Yeah, he looked especially normal last night. Yeah,
especially with the amount of people who've been worried about him that maybe something's wrong.
Yeah.
Because if you go back to last season, I know we had this conversation, just can't remember if it was on the air or not.
Yeah.
Talking about what he hasn't hit a home run since the middle of August of last year.
I think it was the
year.
End of August, but it's been like 31 games now.
It's yeah. a lot of games.
Yeah.
It's a lot of games to not connect that way. Yeah. And if there's something wrong with his swing, something wrong with his body, his back, his arm, whatever it is, that would not be good.
Right.
But so it was good to see him do that last night. Just need more of it from him.
Just a good reminder, though, like it's really difficult. I know we touched on this yesterday about the whole when your batting average is zero and then you go 1 for 10. Well, mm-hmm. you walk up to the plate, you see 100 on the board. You cannot learn anything from a handful of games. So if the Cardinals sweep the Padres, it's not like, okay, they're good again. None of it means that. The only way you're going to know is over time, how do you continuously perform? What we learned in L.A. is that L.A. is better than the Cardinals, but we knew that. Everybody on the planet knew that before that series started. Now, how does it look when you're facing teams that you're going to be competing with? You're not competing with the Dodgers. They're going to win the West. You're competing with your fellow Central Division teams and all the other wild card caliber teams, and that's what the Padres are.
You're not competing with them until you get to the playoffs, get to the playoffs.
Right, but you won't learn anything about how you'll handle that 6 months in advance. Like opening weekend doesn't tell you whether you'll be able to handle them in a 5-game series in the playoffs. What happens between now and then will tell us that, especially the trade deadline. And I think if the Cardinals are in it this year, I think it's a big deadline for them. I think they're going to have to add a top pitcher.
Who do we have going tonight and who goes on opening day?
So it's Miles Michaelis tonight. And tomorrow is Zach Thompson. I believe it's Lance Lynn on opening day.
No.
Yeah, which is kind of fun.
I don't mind that.
No, kind of fun, you know, former Cardinal. And he pitched really well in L.A. I mean, give him credit. He got himself into trouble and got himself out of it. And when you put up a zero, even though it was only 4 innings, when you put up a zero against a really good lineup, it's a good sign. It doesn't mean he's going to do that. And by the way, the Marlins are who the Cardinals are opening with, the home opener.
Mm-hmm.
Marlins are terrible.
Good. Mm-hmm.
They're 0-5 right now, and there's a lot of worry about them.
Anyone or anything else stand out last night?
From Major League Baseball or just on the Cardinals?
Cardinals.
Oh, it was nice to see Brendan Donovan get going. Yep. He had really looked bad for a couple of days in L.A. Uncharacteristic, right? He's not the kind of guy that typically takes ugly at-bats, but he was. But, you know, last night, 3-for-4, hit a home run. He missed the triple for the cycle, so double home run, single thrown in there. That's nice to see. And balance, right? Like, you had, what, 5 guys had double-digit hits? Like, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 guys with multiple hits, including Mason Winn. You know, he's not hitting for any power right now, but, you know, the fact that he's getting on base a little bit and, you know, he and Scott have that speed. Well, the Victor Scott's got to start getting some hits here soon because Nootbaar's going to be back very soon. Right. He starts his rehab assignment tonight, and Sonny Gray will be tomorrow with his first rehab start at Memphis. So,
what do you do with that? When Nootbaar is ready, what do you do?
I mean, he's back, and then you have to decide, who plays center field. I don't know that means Victor Scott is out. Because they don't really have a center fielder other than Michael Ciani, but he's a bench guy. They're not going to play him regularly. It might mean, like, Alec Burleson goes down, which is kind of how it was trending before the injury started to hit, was that Burleson was going to go to AAA. Unless they decide that they're comfortable with Nootbaar in center, I don't see how you do that, though.
If Victor Scott starts to hit, who could knock him out?
Well, it would be when you're fully healthy, so Edmund and Carlson back. Yep.
Okay.
But that's going to be a while.
But if that happened,
that's
that
not
would
happening
happen.
Soon. Right. That's not happening soon. But if you get both of those guys healthy,
would Carlson necessarily knock him out?
It depends on how he's doing, right? I mean, it really does depend on, like, if Victor Scott is killing it, well, no, probably not. But then they would have to get super creative with who goes. And I don't know if Carlson has options to go down, but they could always do that if he does. I'd be a big, that'd be a big, big, big move, though, if you do that to a guy that's been in the big leagues now for like 3.5 years.
Yeah, so this is kind of a, this is a really big year for him,
yeah,
one way or the other.
Yeah.
Because they'll probably make a decision about whatever they think he is this year.
Yep.
So he will have to produce. And by the way, you mentioned opening day. The forecast keeps getting colder.
I know.
It was like, it was 56,
yep,
and then it was 52, and now the high is 49. So get your coat.
No thanks. Yeah, it's going to be cold.
You're going to love it.
Yeah, that's right. We are in tent. We're in a tent.
We could pretend
we are in tent.
We could pretend we're in tent. We're in playoffs.
Yeah, we can pretend it's just October.
Basketball, where do we stand? College?
So Iowa won last night, so they're going to play UConn in the Final Four. Caitlin Clark, I mean, I didn't watch the game. I'm a nerd. I was watching baseball. But 41 points, 12 assists, 7 yep, rebounds is pretty damn good in a revenge game, too. You guys,
yeah,
I mean, LSU beat them last year, and it was a big deal because Angel Reese was talking crap and giving Caitlin Clark a lot of trouble and getting in her face a little bit. Like, just normal smack talk to me.
Basketball trash talk.
Yeah, right. Just normal smack talk to me. And everybody made a big deal about it. But it was a revenge game for Caitlin, and she got revenge.
And so that was the thing, because she addressed it last night because her teammates, Angel's teammates, after the game were sticking up for her. Because according to them, she has been getting, since all of that happened last year, a lot of really inappropriate death threats, that kind of stuff. She said sexualized stuff, just because, which is such a creepy thing to do, especially if you're an adult. What are you doing? I mean, don't do it to
ever,
any athlete, but especially not to a collegiate athlete who's like, you know, 20 years old. What's wrong with you?
Definitely a gender thing, because guys can be jerks. Everyone's like, oh, I love him. You know, he's got edge. He's fiery. Yeah. You know, he's a competitor. And women,
she does
somehow,
it, and it's a huge deal.
Yeah, and they call him names. Remember Serena Williams? Mm-hmm. She's a fierce competitor. And just the stuff people would say about her that they would never say about a male athlete. So that, to me, is just purely
okay. So we all know it happens.
Gender, yeah.
Why do you think it happens? What is it that threatens people about an aggressive female competitor?
I think people just don't like to see females being aggressive. I mean, as a rule, I mean,
they just find it distasteful and off-putting.
I mean, it's the same thing as, like, Hillary Clinton has a million problems, but, like, people just don't like to see, I'm sure part of it is just, like, I don't like to see a woman act like that, period.
Yeah, I don't think it's a common reaction, though.
No.
There's a percentage of dudes that are that.
Right.
And they tend to go off when they see it. I think so.
Yeah.
I think there are plenty of women who don't
like to
see it too.
Yeah, women that don't follow sports, maybe? Because I hear all of the commentators that, you know, the former basketball players and a lot, I mean, I think there were a bunch of like former Olympians that were like, why is everybody bothering Caitlin for being, you know, loud? Everybody's loud. Why are they bothering Angel Reese? Because that's what everybody is.
I think what was fun for me, like, I love watching Caitlin Clark, like, after the game, like, you know, pump her fists and curve her arms and be like, let's go. Because it's so fun to see a female athlete who's just an absolute champion, is so good at what she does. And I think it is good for young girls to see that, because we may say we've come a long way, but there's still this emphasis on your worth as a woman is in beauty. It's in youth. It's in how you look. It's on how guys perceive you. But just to do something that's exciting, athletic, I mean, think of her confidence. I think it's so great to see confident women, and young girls need to see confident women. And boys need to see that too. And what was really fun is I don't follow basketball. I don't follow women's basketball, but Caitlin Clark has me excited to watch it. So it was me and Mason Jar and Mason Jar's two sons watching this game and like, oh, getting into it, because
I watched it too.
Caitlin Clark is so exciting.
Do you think it's a Caitlin Clark, or at least a Iowa and LSU thing? Like, when she's gone next year, do you feel like
somebody has to pick up the, I mean, like, the next person that can do what she does will get that? I think there are a lot of critics of Caitlin Clark getting this much attention. Like, Jemele Hill said recently that she gets all the attention because she's white, and I think that's just missing the boat. Like, women's college basketball has never been on TV more than it is now.
Right.
Never. When Cheryl Miller was a huge star in the 80s,
makes sense if she weren't doing what she were doing.
Well, right. She's also the best women's player in the world, at least at the amateur level. I don't know how she translates to the WNBA. But just in college basketball, she's the best one. And she's playing against everybody now, and nobody is doing what she's doing. So she is the best one. And if you want to compare her to how the coverage was of Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, Cheryl Miller, the media coverage of women's basketball in their time, Cheryl Miller might still be the greatest women's basketball player ever to live, but nobody saw her play. Mm-hmm. Those games were not on TV. Mm-hmm. And even in the tournament, they were barely on TV. And if they were, they were on some, you know, back network that nobody sees. They're on ESPN now. They're getting a lot of attention. And then you toss in the social media aspect. I can't count how many NBA guys I see tweeting about Caitlin Clark or NFL guys or whatever. I mean, the exposure is greater now. So the next person, whether it's, you know, a white kid or, you know, a minority kid or a international star, it's not going to matter. If they're that, they're going to get that attention.
153 DGS. Going to talk to Ricky Horton in the next hour. Looking forward to that. We'll do that each and every week throughout the season. Race, what's up with giving kids too much for holidays?
Okay, I saw something on TikTok that's kind of been circulating. This mom said she ended up spending $330 on her daughter's Easter basket. And then she kind of caught herself and went like, when did this become the next Christmas? Are we setting our children up with unrealistic expectations towards life because we just shower them with so many material goods? Like every time a holiday or anytime any special event rolls around, it's just like, here's everything you've ever wanted.
Wait, so she bought all of it and then she questioned whether or not we're doing
it's called
too much?
Self-control. Stop
just
spoiling your
stop
kids.
Stop spending it. What are you talking about?
Well,
what,
I mean,
what did she buy for $300?
I'm sorry, I don't have the list in front of me.
Come on, Rachel. I'm getting like a
That's either six truckloads of candy or she's putting things in there that don't need to be there for Easter.
Well, she was buying like Lululemon stuff treats like that. Yeah, I mean,
it's a candy holiday, dog.
That's what people are saying.
It's Halloween.
It started out as a candy
holiday. But with a candy Halloween.
Yeah.
Or candy holiday.
It started as a candy holiday, but all holidays are just getting out of hand. And now it's becoming like, do you want a Stanley Cup? Do you want Lululemon? Do you want this? Do you want that? And it's just getting out of hand. And a discussion has been sparked.
Yeah.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I'll participate. Stop being stupid. Like, if you have the money and it's no big deal, well, do what you want, right? If you're wealthy, do what you want. But, like, that's not an expectation for Easter. Right? I mean, your kid probably wants a chocolate bunny and a bunch of jelly beans, and you're going to be like, do you want a new outfit? Do you want a $50 cup?
Easter should be 50% disappointment. Like, you get 50% good candy and 50% the gross, generic jelly beans that are huge and too chewy.
Here, you can go look for eggs. They're plastic. Some might have chocolate in it. Some might have a dollar bill.
Yeah, we did some of that. We did a couple of those. We put a dollar bill in the little plastic egg. Yeah.
Yeah, I always got an Easter basket. And then, no offense, Mom, but like lame presents.
Yeah.
Which were presents, but they were more like squirt water gun.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've noticed in raising a sultan that Phoebe's birthdays are getting closer and closer to Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The big birthday.
But I can get that. Right? I mean, as a parent spoiling a kid on their birthday, I get that. I don't get like turning regular other holidays into something bigger.
We need to just stop going all out for stuff.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.